Sam, keeping it true, watching old movies so you don't have to. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see where the movies truly are for, or did it change history? Good evening, and welcome back to the Benefit of Hindsight podcast, the movie podcast in which a father and son talk about movies that they watched together long ago.
We give each movie a memory score and then rewatch the movie to see whether or not it's better or worse than we remember. And then we score the movie again.
With me, as ever, is my son, Sam. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Dad. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I had a thought when we were doing the introduction there. So I do the first bit. You do the bit in the middle, and then I come back and say, with me as ever is my son, Sam.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. You just did the bit before.
That's a good point, yeah.
So 52 episodes in, and we have a simple redundancy.
Yeah. I've realized doing that intro how much of I'm starting to sound like you when I do it. Oh, well.
I try to mix it up a little bit every time. There's slightly different inflection on different words and things. Hey, guess what? It must be time already, I think, for Sam's exciting anecdote of the week. Do you have an anecdote of the week for us this week?
I mean, I've got something that I just mentioned to you, but I don't know if I want that on the podcast. So no, not really. Nothing interesting's happened. Nothing exciting. Just a bit of a nuisance, really.
Yeah. Well, that can happen.
It's my exciting anecdote, not my nuisance anecdote, I suppose.
That is true. So yeah. There is no exciting anecdote of the week this week?
No, to be honest, the highlight of my days these days has just been a random cat on the way home, which I've shown you. But
yeah, nice cat, by the way. Yeah. Okay, well, then we move on from Sam's anecdote of the week, which this week is a cat.
Fair enough. I'll allow it.
So let's move straight on then to our listener question, which I think is a very exciting one this week. It comes from Mark in Ipswich, which is in England, on the East Coast. And Mark from Ipswich asks the following question. And we always do this. They also say nice things about the podcast, which we never kind of say. But Mark asks this question in response to the episode that came out just a couple of days ago, Fantastic Four. And he picked up on the comment that I had made, apparently, which was that Ian Griffith, Welsh fella, was an interesting choice as an actor for a part in a large budget Hollywood movie about superheroes. And he says, interesting cast. He agrees with that. And he asks the question, what is another interesting piece of casting from either the Marvel or the DCU universe, which only makes sense on reflection?
Oh, I can think of a few that don't make sense at all.
Go on.
Harry Styles showing up at the end of Eternals as Thanos' brother.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all.
I think we can all hope he doesn't return.
Let's hope he doesn't.
I think Robert Downey Jr. is the obvious choice.
As Iron Man
Just looking back, because everyone was a bit, maybe, and then it worked out quite well for them.
I think there are some quite interesting ones. I think somewhere in there you're going to have to say Edward Norton as the Hulk.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be an odd piece of casting for the Hulk. That's one that strikes me as a bit odd. But I can't think of anything that's completely off the wall, really. They seem to be pretty good at that kind of thing. Even the guy that we're going to talk about from Fantastic Four, Welsh fella, whose name we don't want to risk again. It's not a bad... it's an odd choice, but it's well cast, right?
Yeah, do you know what? This has come out recently in the industry that we're not in, the film industry, where nowadays a lot of casting directors will just look at how many followers someone has, so they're not really casting any talent, and I find that so shocking.
Yeah, that is true. I saw something like that as well. It's like, you people aren't really being cast or auditioned or whatever. It's just like, oh, this person's popular. Maybe that's always been true.
Well, yeah. It's like the He-Man movie that's coming out soon. There's some people in that I'm just like, really? Do we want that? They have graduated from Netflix school and now they've decided.
Yeah, well, that is the wonderful world of streaming, isn't it? You know, it can make people stars overnight, basically. So it's a really good question, which we have answered quite badly, because I think by and large, though, we would agree, you and I, that actually casting in those universes are pretty decent.
Yeah, I think they know what they're doing. The name of the casting director, actually, I always look for her name in the credits. She's done a lot of other movies. It's gone from my head for some reason. But it's the same woman all the time, and she knows what she's doing.
There are some... You see, here's the thing. If you ask that question, and I think before you see the movie, you might say things like, well, Christian Bale as Batman seems like an odd choice.
Yeah.
But actually, is brilliant, works really, really well. And then there are a few. I suppose if you go back... Possibly George Clooney's Batman is a shocker.
Absolutely, yeah.
and so on. So I don't think we have given a very good answer to that question because, generally speaking, they're good at casting these things.
Yeah, it's Sarah Haley Finn. Shout out to Sarah Haley Finn for knowing what she's doing.
Yeah. Okay, well done, Sarah Haley Finn. If you're not listening to the podcast, maybe you should.
We've got some good advice on who to cast.
Certainly have. When we come to recast our Flash Gordon remake, we know who to contact.
Yeah, get Richard Armitage to play Dean on the podcast movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, Richard Armitage is definitely going to play me. And I've forgotten who was going to play you. Was it Hayden Christensen?
I can't remember now, actually. Eddie Redmayne? I don't know. I
don't know. Eddie Redmayne's a good shout for you, though.
Yeah.
What, he's too old or you're too old?
I think he's probably too old to portray me now, if we're doing a movie about the podcast.
Well, I could. Ewan McGregor's a good choice for me. We are about the same age.
Yeah, true.
But he's quite a lot better looking than I am.
No comment.
Thanks. Anyway, so Sam and I have been away and we have watched Fantastic Four, Episode 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer. I'm pretty sure that's not what it's called.
It's close enough.
But it's close enough. Because they missed out the sequel number. They simply called it Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. But I snuck in an episode two there, hoped I'd get away with it.
Fantastic 42.
Which from memory I gave 2 and you gave...
I also gave it a 2.
For an overall score of somewhat cliched 4 for the Fantastic Four. Do you think your score will change?
Yes.
Interesting.
And I want to preface this by saying I'm really sorry I made you watch this.
No, it's fine. It's all good. So we would normally begin by talking about casting, but in a rather complicated way in which we're doing this, we basically covered the cast of this movie from last week. We could talk about character development and the way in which they portrayed the characters. Did you see?
Sorry. Did you say there was character development in this film?
Well.
Actually, there was, to be honest.
There was some. Not much. There were not many major character arcs. For example, Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, Sue Storm, they get married, apparently, eventually. A bit of character development there. They're now in a relationship. Johnny Storm seems to be able to take on other people's powers. So there's some character development. Do you think they developed in any way?
I definitely think Michael Chiklis' character of The Thing had some character development because he seems to have accepted what's happened to him at this point, which, you know, brave of him.
That is true, yeah. And they were brave enough when he lost his thingness to not make him seem regretful about that.
Yeah. I don't know. He was the standout of the first film to me, and I think in this one it was just disappointing how he's sort of shoved to the side quite a bit, and he's just, how can we improve upon this so we don't have to repeat the story? Oh, he's happy with his powers now. Okay, leave him at that.
Well, I thought this, and maybe I'm making a point too soon, but I also thought like the way they treated Johnny Storm in this movie was that he becomes front and center. So I think they kind of recognize Chris Evans, good looking fella, half decent actor. Let's make him front and center so he can take. He does this thing where he can get everybody's powers at the end. And ultimately defeat the villain. Well, hang on. That seemed a bit harsh on all of the others, didn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
It's not the Fantastic One who's got 4 different powers. It's the Fantastic Four. And in this particular movie, Jessica Alba as Sue Storm essentially does nothing. She stands around doe-eyed, waiting to get married.
I feel so bad for Jessica Alba in this film. It really is just put to the side. And I don't know if you probably already know, But she almost quit acting because of this film, and they wanted it to cry prettier, which is ridiculous. Because I thought even in the first one she did a decent job, but then it was just, that's completely run this character into the ground.
Well, I it wasn't the most memorable movie I've ever seen, which may tell you something about where this conversation is going. But but I'm unable to remember a single thing that she did in that movie beyond stand around demanding to get married.
And die at the end.
Yeah, and then die at the end, and then miraculously come back to life.
Yeah.
It was a crushing disappointment. Even the Silver Surfer character, who, by all accounts, quite an interesting villain, not really a villain. I don't know if there's a he or a she, but he has a character arc that doesn't really do anything. And in terms of like what other people are bringing to this, in terms of casting, there isn't a great deal to add, is there? You know, everybody's really a bit part player. Lawrence Fishburne does the voice, but you wouldn't know that without checking. Of the Silver Surfer, I should add. I thought there was one or two redeeming moments. Would you like to know what they were?
Okay, go for it.
I think this might be Stanley's best cameo.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, actually.
You know, he actually gets...
I didn't think about that.
He got lines, he gets to name check himself. I'm pretty sure I'm on the list.
Yeah.
It's a decent line. And the guy playing the wedding minister is quite good fun.
True, yeah.
But
for as little as he's in it.
But I would say that's probably as much as I can say about character and things like that.
Yeah, I don't think I've got much else to say about it, to be honest.
What do you see to be the major plot issues with this? What do you see as the reason why, so far, we're being quite negative?
Well, first of all, I think you need a plot. No, that's probably harsh. I think just immediately this was worse than the first one. I know the first one isn't that great.
Yeah.
But there was such a tonal shift and tonal difference with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to get... It's like you have to fight through the first 45 minutes to try and get to something good, and then it just falls flat. I think the concept of an evil force coming to Earth with a messenger is great,
yeah.
But they didn't pull it off very well. It doesn't feel threatening. This is a stupid example to compare it to. But the original Transformers movie, the animated one where you knew something was coming to destroy the planet,
yeah.
You always had that constant feeling of threat. I'm just realizing how similar those two movies actually are now.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, it was just, oh yeah, this thing's coming. You kind of know they're going to stop it and save the world, but how? And the how isn't actually that good.
No, it peters out quite badly. And even the kind of twist, oh no, we have to work with Victor Van Doom, and he's going to, and you know, we have to work together with the guy that was the bad guy in the previous one. That's not particularly well thought out either, is it?
I hate that whole thing, because he's just like, I want the surfboard. And then they fight him for about 5 minutes on the surfboard. I think I kind of zoned out at that point. It was just, you could have easily cut him out of the movie,
yeah.
And it would be the same movie.
Fantastic Car was quite rubbish as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had a weird feeling. Well, I forgot that it was in this film, but I had a weird feeling it did turn up. And then it was a bit gimmicky, to be honest.
Yeah, mercifully short movie though.
Yeah, I do appreciate that.
So like, about 84 minutes? It's really very short.
Yeah, I was so hyped to talk about the first one in the last episode, and now I'm just disappointed. It was such a letdown.
Is it worse than the third iteration of the Fantastic Four? Technically the fourth, but the third one that came out a few years ago. Is it worse than that, do we think?
If you said to me I had to either watch Rise of the Silver Surfer or Fantastic from 2015, I would watch Rise of the Silver Surfer. To be fair, I'd probably have to watch Fantastic again to decide which one was better.
Yeah.
But I think I would rather choose the second one. I think I have in the past, actually.
Wow.
The 2015 one's not good.
I have to say I've never seen it. And it's one of those things that I feel like I want to watch because we've gone down this Fantastic Four rabbit hole. And I just wonder to what extent a film could be worse.
I feel like it might have some decent moments, but it's overshadowed by how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't remember much. I've purposely tried to forget.
Yeah, did the one of the reviews, there's a fabulous review of this, which I read. And it's by a guy called James Berardinelli. And he said, this is how he describes the film. It's so lackluster, it makes Spider-Man 3 feel like a masterpiece.
Ouch. Yeah. I like Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I can see that.
But someone had another review that it says, it's almost a surprise that the sequel is actually better, much better than the original, said the New York Daily News.
It's like what I was saying in the last episode, though, where this sort of brought me back to the Raimi style of film, especially the first Spider-Man film, and it was like a nice bit of nostalgia to go back to, and I enjoyed it. Whereas this time around, I suppose it was more like Spider-Man 3, where it's kind of, you've diluted the idea of what it is, and now it just doesn't work.
I think the one thing I would say, if I had to give a defense of this movie, and there aren't many defenses you would give, because the script isn't great, whatever, we've already covered some of these things, but apart from it being mercifully quite short, it is just telling a fairly simple story. It's not trying to be 3 hours of the Avengers or anything like that, is it? With plots flying off left, right, and center. It's just, here is our story. We're going to tell it.
Yeah. I actually think one of the best bits about this film was when Mr. Fantastic told the Human Torch and the Thing to shut up. Yeah. Just if we're going back on positives of this film. Yeah. That was deserved.
it's interesting, isn't it, that we've mentioned Chris Evans already. It's interesting how he's probably, you can see that somebody in this universe, and I mean in the movie making industry universe, is thinking, we may have stumbled upon a leading guy here, a leading man. We're going to push him to the front and the centre. And it isn't long after this he's cast as Captain America either.
Yeah, I think he definitely... I don't know if it was him or, as you say, the studio that did it, but I think he found his feet with this sort of thing at that point anyway, and kind of he was able to do it, and they recognized that ability to do it. And looking back's wrong, but you can kind of see how Chris Evans was cast as the character to lead a team later on. Yeah.
You know, they had originally signed a 3-year movie deal with this. And essentially, because this had been a box office disappointment, they decided that they weren't going to do it. But they had, it's one of those things where they're still like, pay me or play me. So they'd all signed on. Yeah. They all got paid for making a third film, and then they didn't do it. But there was an idea that they were going to do some development. You know, all of the four cast members had signed on. Julian McMahon had signed on. Michael Chiklis revealed that his relationship with his girlfriend was going to have a greater focus. Jessica Alba was up for it and things like that. But it just didn't work out.
I'd have liked to have seen it, to be honest. I think it might have... I like to think it would have improved upon it and worked, but I guess, yeah. Funny enough, I just wanted to throw this in about Jessica Alba. In the last episode, I mentioned that she was seen with some of the cast, and she might be filming Avengers Doomsday. Mm-hmm. I think I was wrong. Apparently she's dating the guy who plays the new Falcon.
Okay.
I say that apparently because I'm not 100% sure, but that might be why she was there.
I haven't seen the new Fantastic Four movie. Have you seen it?
Not yet, no. I don't know. Is it out yet?
I know the premiere was last week, and then all of the previous Fantastic Four cast were there.
I saw that, including
those who were in the original movie that was never actually seen.
Apparently they're in the movie as well, in the new one.
Well, I had seen an internet rumour that somehow this cast of the Fantastic Four are also in the new Fantastic Four movie, but I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, I saw that Chris Evans made a cameo, but they cut it from the film. But I don't know if that's one of those, they showed it to test audiences, but then cut him out of other test audiences, and now he's not in the film, but when you go and see it, he'll be there.
I think I'll go and see it, though. Well, I'm pretty confident I'll go and see it. I'm pretty sure I will.
I mean, at the time of this episode being released, it's definitely out.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So this film cost $130 million to make. How much do you think it made at the box office?
Oh, nothing close to that.
Well, it made money. It made $301 million.
All right.
But I think these things are a bit misleading, because I don't know how much of that $130 million includes marketing and all of those things.
Yeah.
It's no question that they felt like it had been a disappointment, and, you know, it didn't really work out. And it didn't really get, as we said, particularly good reviews or anything like that, although it was nominated for some awards. Would you like to guess some of the awards that it was nominated for? It was nominated for 15 awards.
Wow.
I know.
That's a lot.
So it was nominated for... see if you can guess.
See, I don't know. Best action movie?
Yes. Let's go through. I tell you what, let's play a game. Okay, so it won the 2008 Golden Trailer Award for best poster.
Oh, really?
It won a Kids' Choice Award for Favorite Movie Star.
Ooh, Chris Evans.
No, Jessica Alba won.
Oh, wow.
Jessica Alba won Favorite Movie Star. It was nominated for the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy and Horror Films Best Science Fiction Award. It lost. Do you know what it lost to? 2008?
Yeah. Batman?
No, it is a film that we have watched on this podcast.
2008. Oh, Incredible Hulk, maybe?
No, Cloverfield.
Wait, really?
Yeah, we lost to Cloverfield.
I almost said that instead of Hulk.
Yeah. In the United Kingdom National Movie Awards, it lost in the Best Family Film category to which film? 2008? The United Kingdom?
It's a tough one.
It's a film we've definitely seen.
Tale of Despero.
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Close. Both have Emma Watson.
And that was all of its nominations, really. It just didn't get many, did it? That's not the best feature we've ever done, but nevertheless.
I liked it.
Music by John Ottman, who did the original soundtrack. Any particular upgrades on this one, do we think?
No.
Okay, moving on.
But I will say I do kind of like the Fantastic Four theme in this, like the big orchestra bit of music that plays whenever they do something cool. I think that got stuck in my head after I'd watched the film, and that's a good thing. Actually, on that, I don't know if I like the new one. I've only heard snippets of it, but it is just some people chanting Fantastic Four. So yeah. I've tried to avoid it purposely, but I'd be kind of interested to see what I think of it.
Yeah. I just thought with this, I agree with you in the soundtrack. I think they have a really good theme, but nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Again, it's a shame because it's like a waste of somebody who's clearly quite good at writing soundtracks. Maybe it just didn't work for us.
Yeah, that's a good point. What did you think of the CGI this time around?
Well, that's a good question. I think that for the most part, it stands up for the year that the movie came out.
Yeah.
I think the CGI of Mr. Fantastic is particularly bad. Reed Richards.
Yeah. See, what I was thinking with this was... It was really good. I'd started to really like it. The Spurs... I was doing so well. Especially the things where the powers were switching. I quite like that. But I thought it was really good up until Chris Evans became Sludge Man. And he became stretchy and his face just went flat and turned to sludge. It was awful. It didn't look good at all. I think I could probably do better than that. But then, I mean, it was sort of redeemed by the end of the film where Chris Evans becomes fantastic people. fantastic person. And then, you know, every power is combined. That was kind of clever. Although, if you think about it, was he really needing his sister's powers?
No.
How did that come into play?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. There's never... She does the thing where she can make force shields or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's never a point where her actually being able to go invisible does anything beyond a joke that she has to take her clothes off.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago, this movie. And you know, the way in which we respond to the portrayal of certain kind of people in movies, women, people of colour, all of those things has thankfully matured in the last 20 years or so. And we're much, much more mindful and sensible of it. And that is a good thing.
Absolutely. I still feel icky about what they did to Jessica Alba in both of these movies.
Correct. It's like she is, and I'm not saying that I think this, just in case people write in and tell me off. They're treating her like she's eye candy. Her only role is to get married, to die and be rescued, to cry beautifully. And there's a running joke that when she goes invisible, all her clothes fall off. Surely we can do better than that for what is effectively on paper and in the comic books, a strong female lead.
Exactly, yeah.
So that would be my main rant about this. Here are my main rants about this movie. Would you like to hear them?
Yes, please.
So my main rants are these. Number one, the guy playing Reed Richards, Captain Fantastic, Mr. Fantastic, sorry. Really good actor, hugely underused.
Yeah.
Okay. Jessica Alba, insulting.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris Evans, really good, but he's not the lead. Stop forcing him into being the lead. And The Thing, well, it's like Chekhov. So like a Chekhov play. There's this Chekhov play where somebody gets shot during the interview. You don't actually see it. They walk on with a bandage and say, "I've been shot." It's like, well, that might have been quite interesting to see. So all of his character development has happened somewhere that we haven't seen. So I'm The Thing and I now just accept it. And so there's no story beyond those things.
Yeah, it's kind of mad.
Anyway, you must have lots to say about this movie following my rant.
You've just reminded me, actually, that I was supposed to get something prepared. But it doesn't matter. Michael Chiklis recently, the other day, I think, posted about how everyone's suddenly a fan of these movies. And I just thought it was quite nice that it's getting attention and he's also recognised that attention. I was going to read it out, but I've come unprepared.
Well, it's not clearly... But I do think, though, what you're saying is correct. I think these movies will find an audience and I think they'll find a nostalgic audience who recognise that not all superhero movies should be enormously complicated. It is okay for them to be a thing that you can sit and watch and wash over you. I just think the political incorrectness of certain elements of this movie will not sit well with lots of people. There must be trivia and out-of-pocket takes, but before we do those, there must also be Sam's controversial opinion about this film.
Yes.
So for those of you who have discovered this podcast, please go and listen to the other ones. This one's not as good as those. But Sam's controversial opinion is Sam will give me an opinion. If you hear the opinion, I've allowed it. Otherwise, you'll simply hear the word no, because sometimes Sam's opinion's very controversial. So let's go with Sam's controversial opinions.
It's probably fine this time again. This might be a bad comic book movie, but it's definitely a good example of studio interference and an attempt to continue a franchise by destroying it accidentally. Accidentally? I don't know.
It's quite controversial, but I think it's true. Do you think they got to the end of this and the studio went, well, that was that. We tried our best. We're done.
I'm pretty sure when I came out of the movie, I thought that originally, yeah.
I can think of an alignment with the Hobbit trilogy.
Yeah.
Where again, they've sort of signed up to make all three. And so off they go to make all three. And after the first one, if they hadn't signed on to make all three and it wasn't Peter Jackson, blah, 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 I wonder if they'd have bothered.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because it didn't go down particularly well with the fandom. I suppose it made a lot of money, though.
Just to throw in a random sort of, it's not a memory, but it's, you know, the benefit of hindsight podcast. When we saw the first film, I definitely got at least one toy of this. Mm-hmm. And maybe I got more, but I definitely remember one of them, which was Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And he had little gimmicks and things like that. And I obviously would have played with it back then. After this film, I didn't get any of that. So I genuinely did go and see this, hoping for more. I was just disappointed. I probably completely gave up on the franchise at that point.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, again, based on the theme of our podcast, it would have been a movie that we would have otherwise gone to see. I don't know that we're particularly excited for it. It was just there and it wasn't particularly memorable. I don't remember you and I coming out and thinking that was amazing. You know, there would be the tradition of we'd buy the toy, we'd buy the soundtrack, we'd buy the t-shirt and all of that kind of stuff. I just don't think we did we?
No, it's not even like Spider-Man where I dress up as Spider-Man and fight you as Doc Ock.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm the Human Torch and you know what I mean? Yeah. It just didn't happen.
It just didn't happen. I think they just, it just didn't work, did it, the Fantastic Four? It hasn't worked once. No. It hasn't worked again. It'll be interesting to see whether it works this time around.
So far, it looks like it has. It's got a higher score than the other ones. And I think Marvel are somehow in that era of kind of knowing what they're doing again, but I would have to see it first.
Yeah, and also I think there's a certain element of the Marvel bubble that's burst.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that they have the same... After the kind of Avengers saga ended, it's never quite been the same, has it?
No, can I just throw another random bit of information in that isn't about this movie?
Please do.
When Fantastic Four First Steps comes out, which is out by the time of this episode, the next film to be released in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is Spider-Man 4.
Wow.
Which has just been confirmed to come out on the 1st of August next year.
Wow, so there's a whole year to wait for another one.
Yeah, actually they start filming on the 31st of July, which is quite tight.
It is quite tight. When does Supergirl come out in the DC Universe? Is that slated yet?
That is June next year.
Okay.
I think I saw something a month or so ago that said this time next year, Supergirl will be out.
That's right.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah. What about trivia? There must be lots of pieces of trivia about this movie. The whole thing is a piece of trivia, right?
The trivia wasn't that interesting, would you believe?
Well, you surprised me.
I've mentioned a couple already. Here's a stupid one, and we love the stupid ones. At around 28 minutes, the blades of the helicopter that nearly destroys Sue and Reed's wedding were created with CGI.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's...
I was so convinced they'd used real ones.
Yeah, I'm surprised to learn that they weren't trying to kill them all.
Did you know that the Thing also wore a suit and isn't actually like that in real life?
No. What? That's not what the actor looks like.
Yeah, apart from his teeth. Wait, no.
I simply don't believe you. There were some of the things that happen in this movie don't make sense either. So they put all these big holes in the ground, right?
Yeah.
And they put a hole in the middle of a river, and none of the water goes down the hole.
I thought it did.
I did it? Oh, I don't remember.
I don't know. But also, what did they do with that afterwards?
I don't know. Yeah, they don't fill it up, do they?
No.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know what they should do?
What?
Because that universe is totally dead now, Mr. Fantastic should just stretch over some of those holes and have a giant trampoline.
That's exactly what he should do. That would be awesome fun. Yeah.
Or maybe he can just be clever and make them that instead of just using his body.
Even better.
Yeah. Maybe the Silver Surfer actually saved the world. And now everyone has so much entertainment that the world is perfectly fine.
It's a shame we didn't get to see the Silver Surfer come back. I did quite like him.
Yeah, I forgot that he appeared in the credits.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Also, here's a very nerdy but kind of interesting thing. Galactus is a Nexus being, which means he's the same in every universe, except in this one he's a cloud, and later on he's a person, which I can kind of, you know, you can bend the rules slightly. But why was he a cloud?
It's a very good question. I don't have the answer to it. I suspect, however, that the actual answer is because they just make it up as they go along.
Yeah, maybe a guy in space wasn't so convincing back then.
Yeah, well, maybe just a CGI cloud is easier.
True, yeah. I do worry, though, that the new one will be a bit of a recycled plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. Anyway, the shower room sign was also a visual effect. I don't even know what that means.
Maybe they forgot to put it on, so they just shoved it on. Yeah. Oh, CGI. Everybody needs to know this is a shower room. So we'll CGI that in. I'd like to ask you an off-topic question, but you mentioned CGI, and we've probably been asked this question by a listener, but I'm reminded of the most pointless bit of CGI, the worst piece of CGI being Superman's moustache. Just wanted to bring that up there.
Yeah.
So if you forgot to put a shower sign on, so you CGI it in, is that better or worse than Henry Cavill's moustache?
There's definitely a scale somewhere.
is it called the Cavill scale?
It really should be, yeah.
It should be. Okay.
Yeah.
On the Cavill scale of 0 to 10, and 10 being the highest, How do the CGI effects work in this movie for you?
I want to put it like in the middle as a 5.
Okay.
Because it kind of worked, but then sludge Chris Evans, but also it, that lowers it. But that just feels like I'm making a joke by saying 4.
Yeah, everything should be a 4. Could be another hidden 4. But by the way, I think we have there stumbled nicely upon a new thing for our podcast. The Cavill scale. So 10 is the worst use of CGI ever. And 0 is, or 1 is, the most amazing CGI you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Cavill scale.
You mentioned a hidden 4 there. Apparently, according to the trivia, at the end of the film where they all put their hands together and shout kumbaya to switch each other's powers, There's a hidden glowing 4 on the thing's arm.
I didn't notice. I did not see it.
No. Maybe it's made up.
Maybe. Maybe at that point I wasn't paying that much attention, if I'm honest.
Yeah. To be honest with you, the first hour of this film, I decided to watch paint dry instead. I did watch the second sort of hour-ish, but that's because the wall had dried.
Right. So I think it feels like we're probably ready to move on to our scores for this movie.
Yeah, I think I'm quite ready for that.
Well, you chose the movie, you gave it 2. And so what would be your Benefit of Hindsight rewatch score for The Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer?
So I obviously chose this because, you know, it's a hot topic at the moment. And I quite enjoyed the first one. And I thought I'd quite like to see what the second one brings. Boy, do I regret that, because it was dull. I didn't like it at all. There's probably some redeemable moments, but at that point, you've lost me as your audience.
Yeah.
I couldn't enjoy it. It's a shame, though, because I'd have liked to see where it had gone if it had worked. I think it could have easily been the next X-Men or the next Spider-Man back in the day. I don't know. I can't really think of anything positive to say. I do hate it, though, when a naked silver man interrupts my wedding because of a space cloud. Wow. So I can kind of relate to the plot point.
That is true, yeah.
So I think for me, maybe the one redeemable thing is the concept of switching powers is really cool. Because it's one of those cliches that has to happen when everyone comes together. It's like the CW shows used to do, we're having a crossover, but first they have to fight each other. So it's kind of, it's like a given, but it kind of worked as well. So that's one thing I will appreciate about it. But unfortunately, I'm going to go from a 2 to a 1 because I didn't really enjoy it, but I'll probably end up watching it again at some point.
Yeah, okay. I everything you say, I'm going to echo. So the truth is, I would also go from a 2 to a 1. I don't think it's a 0. I think if I was really bored and it was on the telly and I had nothing, I'd probably just sit and watch it. But I'm not going to seek it out. So I think I'm going to give it a 1. I think it's definitely one of the movies that we've watched in 52 episodes of the podcast where I really don't have anything to say about it.
Yeah. Do you think this is a case of there's a good movie in there and it's trying to get out, or do you think they've just completely missed it?
I think they've missed it.
Yeah.
I think they've misunderstood the assignment.
Yeah. Especially the studio.
There was this thing that used to happen in Star Trek movies, and just to be boring about this, but when the writers were putting together Star Trek movies, not series, but movies with the original cast, there was kind of a thing that everybody had to have a moment written in. Kirk gets all of the moments, Spock, McCoy get moments, but Chekhov, Sulu, Uhura, Scotty, all of these kind of co-stars should have a moment to shine and feature in every movie, and it became a thing. Yeah. These supporting actors get grumpy if they didn't get one. But basically, in every movie, they get one. So everybody gets their moment. In this movie, there's no point where they've thought, right, this is the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to get a moment. No. They give all the moments to Johnny Storm and they treat everybody as if they're just expendable characters. It's like Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible works because everybody gets a chance to shine and be meaningful in these movies. So I just think they missed the assignment of it's the Fantastic Four, not the Fantastic One with the occasional 3 with something to do.
And do you know what? It doesn't feel like they even had a team moment like that.
No, they spend most of the time arguing with each other. Johnny Storm becomes irritating because he just is. You know, it's funny and funny-ish in the first movie. In this one, when he suddenly got advertising all over himself, that's a joke that doesn't really land. We've said enough. It's a 2 out of 20. It's a 1 overall from us. So what would be your one-word review of Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer?
I kind of said it at the beginning of my review, but it's dull.
Yeah, I'm going to go with...
Fantastic.
I'm just going to go with my one-word review is just disappointing.
Yeah.
Dull and disappointing would tend to sum this movie up quite well.
It would. The only thing worse could be if they just put it in grayscale.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. And Comic Sans typeface.
Yeah.
We need to choose a movie for next week.
It does, yeah.
And it's my turn.
It is. I'm a bit worried.
Well, I think there's an argument that means for something soft and gentle. And, you know, an argument for something that's going to rid us of these dreadful sequels. But I'm not going to do that.
Oh dear.
So
oh, no.
I'm going to go with a controversially bad sequel.
Okay.
Okay. And it's time to complete the trilogy. So for this week and for next week's podcast, we will be going back to and revisiting Spider-Man 3.
There was a weird part of me that thought you were going to do that.
Because this is the film where we've just watched, where one critic said, at least it's not as bad as Spider-Man 3. So it's the perfect time. It's like the trilogy. It's like a little arc.
I like that.
Okay, so Spider-Man 3. So from memory, I'll go very quick. I'll be short. Spider-Man 3 was a crushing disappointment. And because it was a 3, I'm going to give it 3 out of 10 from memory. There you go.
Oh, wow. We saw this movie a lot when it came out.
We did.
And I think it was one of those cases, a bit like Amazing Spider-Man 2, where you've got your rose-coloured glasses on mm-hmm. and you don't realise how bad it is while you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Or at least for me it was. I don't know about you being dragged to the cinema to see it about 3 or 4 times.
Well, I love Spider-Man. I was happy to keep going.
Yeah, fair enough. Sorry, belittling. But I don't know. I think from memory, I absolutely enjoyed this film. Countless rewatches since, but I'll leave that for now. So I'm actually going to go quite opposite and say my memory score of this film is probably a 7 out of 10.
Okay, interesting.
I'll keep it at that.
I do think because I've now seen it, like you, now I've now seen it more than once. Okay.
Yeah.
And we saw it more than once at the cinema. But I do think maybe part of my score is somewhere in there, a rewatch of the original watch. Maybe I didn't. Maybe from the first time we saw it, I wouldn't have given it 3. But in my memory, it kind of sticks out as being not a very good movie. So I'm going to stick with my score of 3. So let's see how we get on with Spider-Man 3. Okay, well, anyway, enough of that. We'll be back next week with Spider-Man 3. Do you know what day it is today?
Maybe I do. World Whale and Dolphin Day?
Yes, that's what I have.
Nice.
World Whale and Dolphin Day. And I think that's
it. I stole it from you then.
No, it's great. I think it's great. And obviously, you know, we've said it before. We'll say it again. We appreciate guinea pigs. We worship otters. But I do like a whale and a dolphin.
Yeah, that's true.
I know an interesting fact about whales. Would you like to hear it?
No. No. That's just reminded me that the anecdote of the week used to just be me saying no. Anyway, give us the fact.
Interesting fact about whales. Not the country, the things. So I can't remember which particular species it is, but this is a true thing. I think it might be orcas. Okay, so there are orcas, but there are whales generally, and there are whales that exist in northern pods, and there are whales that exist in southern pods. Okay,
what about the ones in escape pods?
No,
pea
pods.
Sorry,
there's no whales in pea pods. Anyway, they have, apparently, according to scientists who can measure these things, northern and southern whales have slightly different accents.
That is so cool.
There's northern whales.
That's made my day.
And southern whales. I think it's awesome. And whales are amazing creatures, by the way.
They're like, why I?
Hello, man. How are we? Oh, we could do that. But anyway, yeah, whales. Love whales.
Cool.
All right. There's no update on Otterfest at the moment. We're still waiting for sponsorship. Spotify, Coca-Cola, Pepsi haven't been back in touch with us. So we're still waiting for some email replies to our requests for a sponsorship. If you've listened to this podcast and you've made it this far and you do want to sponsor us, do let us know. So I think all that's left is for me to say goodbye.
And goodbye from me. And next time you feel sad, just be happy. You won't feel sad anymore.
Good advice. As always, from Sam there. Bye-bye then.
Bye. Should we do that all again? Yeah, the whole episode. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see where the movie's true.